In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to St. Peter's on this fifth day of Christmas. There almost wasn't a sermon this morning. The Gospel reading is out of chronological order and more suited to yesterday's remembrance of Holy Innocents than Christmas one. Also today is when we remember Thomas Becket, sometime Chancellor of England and Archbishop of Canterbury, murdered on this day in 1170. Two kings and three magi. Do I draw parallels between Henry II, who is remembered for his casual words which led to Thomas's murder, and the magi, whose courtesy visit to Herod gave him the incentive to order the killing of all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under? Do I compare Henry II, the king whose administrative prowess restored England after the civil wars of Stephen and Matilda, with Herod the Great, who is thought by biblical scholars to have been sufficiently paranoid to have ordered the killing of anybody, child, adult, Jew or Gentile, who threatened his right to rule Judea? I'm going to do neither. Today we're going to think about Joseph, because without Joseph's strength, Matthew's account of Jesus' birth would have been very different. Sermon is not about the Holy Family as the perfect family, nor is it about Joseph as the perfect father or stepfather. It is about a man catapulted into a situation not of his making, who came through it with flying colours. It is in Bethlehem where Matthew's story opens. God, we presume, knew what he was doing when he chose Joseph and Mary to be his earthly parents. Not important people, but a carpenter. Jesus, later in the Gospel, is referred to as the carpenter's son, a craftsman, an artisan, a maker, someone who could always get work. And his wife, a tough young woman, who was physically mature enough and strong enough to survive childbirth without the benefits of modern medicine. Theirs was almost certainly an arranged marriage at a time when betrothal, a form contract between two families rather than two people, was regarded as binding as marriage. The actual marriage ceremony could be delayed for several years. They had not had marital relations, permissible at that time between the betrothed, but Mary was already pregnant. Joseph could have put her aside, refused to continue with the betrothal. Instead, when an angel, a messenger of God, told him not to, he listened and acted as the angel instructed. The relationship continues, and the baby, Jesus, is born. No scandal. And two living parents, two living earthly parents, and so far, so good. Time passes, probably several years. The carpenter and his family get on with their lives. Joseph isn't around for the visit of the Magi, and presumably he was working off-site that day. Soon after the Magi leave, an angel appears to Joseph. Herod thinks your child is going to usurp his throne. Get away now. And this is where Joseph shows just how dependable he is. Bethlehem is only about 6 miles, 10 kilometers for the younger people, from Jerusalem. And Joseph needed to act quickly, and he did. He managed to get Mary and Jesus to safety in Egypt. Probably not the epic 200-mile, 300-kilometer journey we tend to think, but far enough, the 50 miles, 80 kilometers or so, necessary to be out of Herod's jurisdiction. Their final destination isn't known, their route isn't known, but the journey would have needed to be quick and quiet. No hanging around waiting for a caravan going to Egypt by the coastal trade route. Joseph manages it. He gets Mary and Jesus, by that time a toddler, away along byways not patrolled by Herod's troops, and looked at like that, it was a magnificent feat of organisation by Joseph and intelligent cooperation by Mary. And I prefer this imagery to the downtrodden pair and the weary donkey silhouetted against the sky, walking in full view of any Herod's agents, as shown in many illustrations. I like to think of it as much more like the journey from the Shire to Rivendell, travelling quickly and quietly off the road, with both adults, like Aragorn, alert and watchful. And now we can allow our imaginations free range. Joseph working as a carpenter somewhere in Egypt, Jesus growing up and beginning to learn a trade, to learn how to make things with wood. The years pass, Jesus grows from a baby into a child, learning from this ordinary couple how to be human. Then an angel turns up. I can imagine Joseph thinking, not again, what this time? Herod is dead. Joseph listens to the angel and the three of them return, probably this time with a caravan, probably this time along the coastal route. They return to Palestine and sensibly, after another angelic intervention, to Nazareth. Nazareth is about 100 miles, 160k from Jerusalem, and far away from Herod's heir, who was also a rather nasty piece of work. Nazareth to a small settlement at the back of beyond, near what is now the border with Syria, a part of the country so remote and with such a heterogeneous population that it's called Galilee of the Nations. Jesus grows up and, according to Matthew, becomes a carpenter himself. And there is a satisfying circularity in this. God incarnate, God the maker of all things, the supreme craftsman, learning how to be a human craftsman. Joseph, often ignored in nativity stories, has a starring role. He comes across as one of the quiet, sensible, dependable people who can be asked to do something and can be relied on to do it. And I find myself agreeing with theologians who think God asked of Joseph because he knew him so well. He knew that Joseph would do his best to keep him, God, safe as he learned to be a human, as he learned to grow up a human. And I'm going to suggest something that we can see in this story about how much God trusts humans. God incarnate had to grow up as a human. He had to know how to become a human. He had to learn to talk, to walk, to feed himself, to do all the things humans do. And he had to depend on humans, to trust humans to help him. And even more than Luke's story of Jesus' birth, I would suggest that Matthew's shows us the trust God had in one particular human, Joseph of Nazareth. And through Joseph's actions, it shows how God trusts us to do what is necessary, to do what is right. Because when God asked a human for help, Joseph helped him. Now, here is something we can do, we can all do. We can all ask ourselves, and we can all think about during this Christmas season, how is God asking each of us to help him in today's world? And perhaps, when we say our prayers tonight, we can thank God for Joseph of Nazareth and for the people in our lives on whom we know we can depend. Amen.